I'm Manny Pacheco, and you're tuned to a majestic hour of forgotten Hollywood. I've written an award-winning book series you're going to love reading for Cher's Americana through the eyes of character actors from Hollywood's golden age. And Joe Lyons will offer his On the Backlot report. Today, we present the early grandiosity of John Williams, very memorable in his longtime collaboration with Steven Spielberg, but his journey to this partnership is less known. Since we're forgotten Hollywood, I've chosen to examine the beginnings of this fine maestro's origins. His lineage can't be denied. His father was a jazz percussionist who played with the Raymond Scott Quintet. In 1952, Williams was drafted where he conducted and arranged music for the U.S. Air Force Band as part of his assignments. After military service, he moved to New York City and entered the Juilliard School. Williams worked as a jazz pianist in clubs and eventually in studios, most notably for composer Henry Mancini. His fellow session musicians included the lineup featured on the Mr. Lucky television series. After his studies at Juilliard, he returned to Hollywood, joining the notable Franz Waxman, Bernard Herrmann, and Alfred Newman. He also performed as a studio pianist for Jerry Goldsmith, Elmer Bernstein, and Mancini. Williams actually played the well-recognized opening riff to Mancini's Peter Gunn theme. On Forgotten Hollywood, let's take a peek at embryonic moments of his career. Manny Pacheco here, and I'm taking time to celebrate a current legend in the making, John Williams, and you're visiting Forgotten Hollywood. If you listen closely, one can hear Williams playing piano on the scores of Days of Wine and Roses and Charade. The composer additionally created iconic television themes during the 1960s, including the pilot episode of Gilligan's Island, Bachelor Father, the Kraft Suspense Theater, Lost in Space, The Time Tunnel, and Land of the Giants. It wouldn't be long before top motion picture producers took notice. Of course, Forgotten Hollywood is taking notice.
In tropical sea is a tropic port. Vacation fun is the favorite sport. This is the place where the tourists flock, renting the boats at the busy dock. Two secretaries from USA sail on a Mino this lovely day. A high school teacher is next aboard, all taking trip that they cannot afford. The next two people are millionaires. They got no worries, they got no cares. They climb aboard and they step inside with just enough bags for a 6-hour ride. Tourists come, tourists go, tourists touring to and fro. These five nice tourists, they take this trip, relaxing on deck on this little ship. The weather is clear and the sun is hot. The weather is clear? I think it is not. Tourists come, tourists go, tourists tossing to and fro. The captain is brave, he's... Caramba! What a storm! The captain is brave, he's a fearless man, and Gilligan helps him all that he can. The wheel she break and lose all control, SS may not do the rock and roll. The sea is now calm and the weather grand. Where is the Mino upon the sand? What happened now will bring you a smile. The adventures of Gilligan and the skipper and the millionaire and Mrs. Millionaire and the other tourists on Gilligan's Isle.
And now, back to Forgotten Hollywood.
Pacheco with you on Forgotten Hollywood. We're providing the beginnings of the audio narrative of one of the finest modern composers in show business. John Williams' first film composition was for the 1958 B-movie Daddy-O, and his first screen credit came 2 years later in Because They're Young. The tune became a bona fide hit for guitarist Duane Eddy. Johnny soon gained notice within Hollywood circles for his versatility in composing jazz, piano, and symphonic music. His themes were used in Gidget Goes to Rome, Fitz Willie, and A Guide for the Married Man. Williams received his first Academy Award nomination for scoring Valley of the Dolls, and he received another nomination for Goodbye, Mr. Chips. He broke through to win his first Oscar on Fiddler on the Roof. Forgotten Hollywood travels down memory lane.
Thank you.
Forgotten Hollywood is experiencing the grandiose strains of John Williams. This is Manny Pacheco. During the early 1970s, his prominence grew thanks to his score for the disaster films of Irwin Allen. He composed the music background for The Poseidon Adventure and The Towering Inferno. In addition, he scored Universal's Earthquake for director Mark Robeson, completing a trinity for the decade's highest-grossing adventure flicks. Here they are on Forgotten Hollywood. We'll return with the focus of our topic, Mr. John Williams, prior to his chance meeting with Steven Spielberg on Forgotten Hollywood. Hi, I'm author Manny Pacheco. Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History is the award-winning paperback that tells America's story through the eyes of character actors of Hollywood's golden age, including Lionel Barrymore, John Carradine, Gloria Graham, and Eddie Rochester Anderson. Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History features great cinema, including Stagecoach, Captain's Courageous, and Lawrence of Arabia. The book has been the recipient of awards from USA Book News, Premier Books, BooksandAuthors.com, the Hollywood Book Festival, and gold medalist at the 2010 World Book Awards. It's also been added at the prestigious libraries of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, the American Film Institute, and the Writers Guild and SAG Foundations. You can buy your copy of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble stores, and you can download it to your virtual libraries and ebook for your Kindle, Nook, or on your favorite e-reader through Sony or Apple. Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History makes a great gift for a family member or friend. Visit ForgottenHollywood.com and pick up or download your copy today. This is Forgotten Hollywood. I'm Manny Pacheco. We have a little something from the soundtrack of The Reavers. John Williams also wrote a very memorable composition for The Cowboys, a western starring John Wayne and directed by Mark Rydell. Steven Spielberg was coming of age while working on television in the early 1970s. He wanted to break onto the big screen, and he was completely impressed with John Williams for his work on The Reavers. The director approached the composer twice while on the sets of The Paper Chase and Cinderella Liberty, and he finally convinced him to enter into a collaborative partnership. While on these movie lots, Spielberg enjoyed John Williams up close and personal while at work. We will too. On Forgotten Hollywood. Joe Lyons provides his On the Backlot report with current news and notes that reference Hollywood's past.
Hi, I'm Joe Lyons, and welcome to this week's visit to On the Backlot. There's a war going on here on the Backlot, a war between the Hollywood producers and the television networks. At issue is the end credits. Let's face it, the days when a movie ended with the words, "the end," are long gone. I believe that the record for the longest end credit runs was probably Superman the movie, where the end credits ran for about 10 minutes, and, God bless him, John Williams wrote a 10-minute mini-concert of the Superman March and the love song Can You Read My Mind to match it. Some years later, Celine Dion became a household name when James Cameron ran her song My Heart Will Go On over the end credits to Titanic. And James Bond fans will remember the thrill of seeing Daniel Craig announce that he was Bond, James Bond, at the end of Casino Royale as the iconic James Bond theme came crashing over the credits. So, what's the problem? The problem is this. Television networks, even basic cable, do not want to run end credits. They want to get on to the next film. So, since the Hollywood unions would scream if they dropped them completely, the TV channels speed them up. Forget the music of John Williams or John Barry. Forget Academy Award-winning songs. All we get is a white blur on one side of our flat screen as the next film starts up on the other. So the Hollywood producers have struck back. The germ of the idea has been there for years. Speaking of Bond, remember when Goldfinger ended and the credits roll included the message that said, "The end of Goldfinger, but James Bond will be back in Thunderball." Or the end of the Ferris Bueller credits where Matthew Broderick came back on screen, in character, to tell the audience to go home. Now Hollywood has made the end title insertion an expected thing. It's not easy to rush the end credits and then have to stop in order to have Samuel L. Jackson, in his role as Nick Savage, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., set up the next Marvel Comics movie. Or for Adam Sandler or Jackie Chan to show outtakes from the film. One writer even suggested we would soon be calling the movie the pre-end title content. Now, I understand the great films of the past were very specific in their endings. Clark Gable cursed, slammed the door, and the music swelled. Humphrey Bogart said it would be a beautiful friendship, and they walked into the fog to the tune of Le Marseillais. Today, many films leave you with enough suggestion that there could be a sequel, simply because the suits in the corner offices know that we may want more. If we cared about these people, even Marty McFly, we'd want to see what happens later. And many of the craftspeople who live and work here in Southern California deserve credit for the work that they do. So I say, roll the credits, even if all I do is close my eyes and listen to the end credits score. So, Manny and Steve, that's my backlot report for the day. And you can wait for me in the parking lot because, yes, I'm the kind of guy who likes to stay at the end to read those credits.
Thank you, Joe Lyons, for helping us to remember the great John Williams. And to our producer, Steve Guzman, once again, you have delivered on the grand bargain we know as Forgotten Hollywood. Obviously, we could spend another hour or two or three on just the music of John Williams and Steven Spielberg motion pictures. However, that's for another day. I'll say this, he's won 5 Academy Awards, 4 Golden Globes, 7 BAFTAs, and 21 Grammys during his prolific career. Williams is the second most nominated person in history after Walt Disney. He was a recipient of the Kennedy Center Honors in 2004.